down to brass tacks, you're on the air.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, this is for your producer. Okay, you spoke about Dennis Music on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Joanne, I don't know, but it's do something to me. Deep. I Sunday was trying to call him to tell him I enjoy your type of music, your style, but I called in vain. He did not pick up the receiver. I just spoke to him. I said I'm going to speak about you, but this is to tell Dennis I love his style of music. I don't know. It gave me cold bumps. I don't know what to say. I just love it. It is so cool. His style is refreshing. It brings back the olden days to you. I don't know. You know.
He's very good, but there's a difference, and I'm sure Dennis, when he's in the chair, will explain between sitting in this chair and a DJ out there for a party and the type of music and style that they have. And, you know, well, I did enjoy it. As I said, I was just upset because, you know, no one was at home that day. I mean, it was nice, but it was just reflecting, and it was like, wow, it was deep. It was very, very deep and very thoughtful in terms of how he puts together his music.
And he tells you the history of the singer, you know. He goes into it and he tells you the part of the history of the singer. Dennis, kudos to you. I love it. Bye-bye.
All right. Dennis, someone here in the chat saying take a bow. So, take a bow. Down to brass tacks. Good morning.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Joanne?
This is she, yes.
Okay, yeah, topping morning time to Joanne. All the crew on board. Now, I want to draw something to my Barbadian brothers and sisters. Oh, they're not only Barbadians, the whole Caribbean community. Now, I believe that a lot of people is watching the African documentaries with the Congo drums and the women dancing and things. We are for African heritage. Mm-hmm. And when we hear music, we start to move. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I go into Austin, I miss China, and I listen to music. And all of a sudden, I start to get in a rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
I hear people come in here. I hear a man come in here last week and was saying about the walking up and the pooching back. And I ask myself, Effie is 75% white and 25% black. Because Effie was a real black person. He would talk about walking up. Then Effie look at the Africans, how they dance, and how they tremble. You look at them, Joanne?
Yes, I think there's a beauty to watching people being able to move in that way. I certainly don't possess the rhythm or the pelvic thrust in any form or fashion, and I know that. But to watch other people being able to dance and to you know, is entertaining. I see nothing wrong with it.
Right. So when the gentleman came in here last week, because I don't get a chance to come in for the program and really talk, because I can't get in. But when the gentleman came in here and talked about the pushing back and the walking up and things, I asked him, maybe he of the African tribes. You know what I'm saying? We are different. We are in Caribbean. We are black people. We are different people. Sometimes we hear the music. It's in a message.
What I'm saying is, like, take Dennis, for example, where people are saying, oh, I love to hear his music. And then there are some people who love to hear other DJs. And then there are people who don't mind the starting and stopping of a song and talking in between, to each his own. Similarly with dancing and even with dress, whatever you wear. Now, there's something, and there's always been an argument, what is appropriate and what isn't. Now, of course, if you're at work and there are rules, but if you are at home or if you're going out and if you jogging or, you know, I have no issue with how a person is dressed, how a person is dancing, and recently a person's hairstyle, which, by the way, if I mention, someone put a picture of someone who's a journalist, and in to me it was an insult, saying how awful his hair looked, and I was shocked that people would still do that in this day and age, to mention about someone's some person's hairstyle. I'm not sure what that has to do with anybody. And it doesn't take away from a person's talent or what they do or how kind they are. So for me, people who have an issue within yourself, for example, I think they should spend the same time that they spend on looking at other hairstyles and maybe look at themselves in the mirror and start trimming away some of their negative thoughts and words and actions. So the dancing, back to that, I welcome all types. I appreciate all types. If the girls want to wear short pants or shorter shorts and the guys want to wear the skinny jeans or whatever it is that they want to wear, it's all at them. It's different when you have to work, then you have to obviously go by the rules of a company. And even the dress code, if you have to go somewhere that is dinner and you go with the dress code. But when there's no code and you are at home, I'm not saying for you to be naked. I'm just saying that if the dress tight, the woman next to you may say, but she dressed look tight and she looked bad. And this time the man next, they're going, whoa, boy, that looks nice. So it's, as people will call it, what's easy on your eyes may not be easy on other person's eyes. Final word at you, sir.
Yes. All I'm saying, I'm speaking about rhythm, you know what I mean, within all black people, the way mm-hmm. how we move, the way how we react to music, mm-hmm. and normally speaking.
And you see nothing disgusting about it, right?
Right. But all I want to say, too, is rest appropriately, you understand what I mean? There's nothing wrong with the short pants, you know, especially if you've got nice legs and things.
but okay. Listen, let me define the word nice, too. And let me define the word good hair, for example. What is good hair? What is bad hair? What's nice legs? What are bad legs? I don't know. You're standing up, you have legs, great. Whether the legs are full of marks, cellulite, scars, whatever, I was trying to figure out when we say, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. A man could say, wow, she has some powerful looking legs and are well toned in terms of she's at the gym. And then they got another guy that the girl has a lot of, she's chunky and she's got cellulite and he's good with that too. So when we say good legs and good things and good hair, that's just another debate. I'm just trying to figure out what it means when someone says that. What's good legs?
I'm not saying that if you're skinny, that normally speaking, you don't look good. No, nothing mm-hmm, like that. Mm-hmm. You understand what I mean? I'm not saying that if you've got fat legs or anything, but some of the dress appropriate. You understand what I mean for mm-hmm. the occasion? Mm-hmm. Now, the lady talk about the music, cutting mm-hmm. off the music. Sure, I quite agree with her mm-hmm. 100%. Let the music play right out.
Again, it has to do with age group now, because you're in that age group.
But you know, the guy, the DJ's got it, like then they get three-quarter away, the cut in with another song. Mm-hmm. And then kind of
because you are not accustomed hearing that type of change to what people do now at parties, correct?
Yes, I am accustomed to it.
You're accustomed to playing the full tune.
I can reason. Mm-hmm. I can reason. I'm accustomed to it because I can reason. I have been some nice places in the world. I've been places like Jamaica and then kind of places where you get a lot of dancing, reggae music, and all sorts of things. I mean, Brazil, all those kind of places, see different cultures and all sorts of things like that. But all I'm just saying is that normally speaking, some of the people like it, they like the music to play a little longer. It's nothing wrong with that. I'm speaking reasoning here. Okay, mm-hmm. Joy?
Okay, dear.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, again, what I want to let the people out there know is that we are Caribbean people. You're rocking out is here to stay.
We have a little bit more movements than some, and some men welcome the movements. Some people obviously don't. For me, I think it's entertaining. Someone is here in the chat saying that they welcome it, but slack is slack. And all right, I understand that, you know, if you have a girlfriend, and you love this girl, and she decides that this is how she wants to behave. Now, she's not related to me. She's not doing anything to me. She's at the party. If I don't want to look, I don't want to look. And you're happy with how she's doing it, and she's happy with how she's doing it. Who am I to interfere? You know, it may be their thing. Anyway, let's get on to the next caller. Down to Brass Tacks, you're on the air.
Good morning, Joya.
Good morning.
I want to speak on this online learning or teaching or whatever it is. Now, you know that when they were face-to-face teaching, there were students who presented challenges, disciplinary challenges to teachers. Now, could you tell me how these students are treated in the online classes?
No, no, I can't tell you how they're treated.
Or can anybody come in and tell me how they're treated?
All right, well, let's get to the next question. What were we leading with to this? Why would we want to know how they're treated? Do you have something to state that they're not being treated well? Or
Well, these students, when they were face-to-face teaching, would be disrupting the class, and they would present problems to the teacher. So I don't know if nowadays online teaching, if the teacher would just block them out of the class and that go on with the people who want to learn.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, good question how they manage it. Maybe they do block them out. Maybe they talk to them, and if they can't control them, then they, you know, maybe they may dismiss the class in its entirety if it gets out of hand. I'm not quite sure what the rules are. Like how we have rules at school, when you have a person who's disrupting the classroom, all these steps a teacher has to take. It'd be interesting to hear what the steps are for online teaching when there's disruption in the class.
Okay, thanks for that, Jaya.
Thank you. Good question. Very good question, sir. Down to Brass Tacks, 11:44. We're soon heading to the regional roundup. You are on the air.
Hello.
Yes, good morning.
Hi, good morning, Jaya. How are you?
I'm good, and you?
I'm not too bad. I'm actually a first-time caller.
Sound very young.
I am not too far from 50. Okay, I just want to say the stay-at-home party. Miss everything that is going on in Barbados and the world right now. People are so glad for that little release on weekends.
Telling me.
I mean, you know, sometimes the girls, you know, they do their own thing. But that brings a smile to people's face, whether it's the old, the goldies, whether it's the calypso, the dub, the different DJs. It just takes some stress off of you. We're living in a stressful time. You know, it's death, it's sickness, it's COVID, it's everything. You know, it might not be perfect.
If that happens to be your biggest, not you, I'm just speaking in general, if your biggest problem in life was the fact that women were moving at a rate that you could not keep up with and dressed in the way that you don't like, and that is your biggest problem in life, I want your problem then. Because me, the things that we really have time to break down and analyze and argue about is just mind-boggling for me.
Because there's so much other things as for the news person, that I think that some people are talking about his hair, talk about his brains. Because they don't need to call names, but you have a feeling who they're talking about. He's an excellent broadcaster. He's a writer and everything. And stop looking at people from face value.
It's ridiculous. Like, years ago, there was a lady, I know her name, I guess, I don't know if I could call it, but she went to work in braids. It was at a hotel. And I think she got fired or sent home for these braids. And she won the case. A black woman won the case. Now, that's years ago. You mean we still at this?
Yeah.
In 2021, are we that bored? Because that's the way I see it now. I'm thinking, all right, you got too much time in your hands. Something ain't going on here. So the mere fact you have that amount of time to dissect somebody's hairstyle, you really ain't got much going on in your life.
It is a little different, but the stay at home party brings some kind of, you know,
I love it. I think it's fun.
I love it.
I think the girls, they look great. The guys move good. The dancers.
The ones dancing with the teddy bears, it just, you know, people have fun for those couple hours. Who don't like it? Well, you know.
Turn off the TV.
You can't please everybody.
But you can't. And who don't like it? They can turn off the TV. Similarly, we have moderators that when we sit here, I never forget there's a particular person that would write, oh, you on? I turn it off my radio. But yet still, they're always in the chat, WhatsApping Dennis to complain about me. And I'm thinking, well, I thought you tuned out. Or you have people, we sit in this chair and we can see things about us on Facebook. And it would, like, for example, oh, this moderator has an agenda, or this moderator likes to hear themselves. And the sad part is that what they don't recognize, when you put us out there as moderators, when people go on your page and you see it, you encourage people to come and turn on the radio to say, wait, let me hear, wait, who is it he talking about? Or what is it talking about? They actually increase the listenership. So to them, on behalf of the moderators, whenever you put us on Facebook in a negative way, you're actually doing all of us a favor. But dang, so that's how you got to look at life. All of that negative, whether it be the hairstyles, the outfits, whatever, it is not a reflection of the people that they're talking about. It's a reflection of them, the people who are feeling and uncomfortable with things that should not even bother anybody.
Yes, and I want to wish David Ellis a happy retirement. Excellent, another excellent broadcaster. And as for Dennis on Sunday, oh my goodness.
The two you songs too? That you too? Me, okay, I thought, see?
Two songs that stick with me.
Dennis.
I'm telling you, It Might Be You by Stephen Wilson and Leon Lewis, Better Than Time. He's always up there in my brain with just what I want to hear. So just tell him keep up the good work, and you all guys have a good weekend.
He's clasping his hands, humble, and saying thank you. Thank you so much. 11:49, down to brass tacks.
Yes, good morning, Miss Hick. How are you today?
I'm well. How are you?
Well, there's always room for improvement, but I'm okay, thanks.
Good.
You've got your commitments to take care of. I've been busy already this morning. And and while coming in, I listened on the radio with that guy that made that clarion call yesterday about he's a bona fide farmer and all of the bureaucracy and the whatever he's suffering.
Mm-hmm.
It is really goring to stop and listen to this sort of thing for so long. Now, my take is there's also an article in today's paper on page 4 to a shop owner going to court. And the last paragraph of that article reads as follows. Following the initial story, Chapman, which means Ronald Chapman, said his officers were too well trained to make such a mistake as tire shops were exempted from closure during that time. Now, the point is, he's going to court. The guy is a litigant now. He's seeking compensation, etc. All I'm saying to the gentleman with this complaint, go to a lawyer, a QC, go to a law firm, but take it out in court and have it settled. Don't waste no time with all this trying to go to a lawyer, become a litigant. People are afraid to be litigants. I don't know why. If you've got a good case, let the court decide, let the judge rule on it. I am really appreciative of this guy here that has taken this stance here about the tire shop. I'm really appreciative. The person with the complaint about his farming delay and his reimbursement of his funding thing, go court with it. And then the thing is, whatever you're suffering, there should be some compensation for your suffering and all the other things that are associated with it. Your lawyer would advise you in that regard. Foolishness. I don't suffer that because I'm going to go court. I carry insurance to court, you know, and I won. You see?
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm Rawlo. Come,
that
come and
you
do
are.
Me something.
Mm-hmm.
And you will, and let's have our
I like that. I'm Rawl, you know.
Yeah.
Good for you. No, good for you. Good. No. Hey,
yeah.
Come on. No, I don't mean it that way. It's good that you're confident enough to know who you are and how you would handle something. Yeah. Want to thank you so much, Rawl, as always. So while some may be stressing over hairstyles and dance moves, etc., many continue to lose their jobs. Many stores are still closed. And people are finding it very hard to survive. What can we do as a country? Can we find at least one product, just one, that we can sell to maybe 1% of the world's population, or China's 5% of China's population, India's population? What can we do to add to the Barbados brand? And can it be, is it medicinal marijuana? Do we have any plants here that we can sell in great quantity to somewhere in the world that they can't do without it? We need to find something that everybody needs. Not just only tourism, we have that, but what can we add to the brand? Because if it is that we're gonna take some time to get back on track, we've heard that the numbers for bookings have gone up tremendously, 300% in some cases, 600%. Now, if we're still faced with the pandemic, we don't know how soon that will happen, if there's going to be herd immunity, will the countries all around the world be doing the same thing? Will we have to then deal with tourists all over again with vaccines? Or, you know, there's a lot that has to go into it. And before we can bring back tourism in its entirety, and God knows we need it, but in case there's a next pandemic or in case there's some natural disaster that would take tourism out of the equation again, what can we sell that would bring in enough money to sustain a country? There must be something we can think of. And I'll put that out there, see what response we get. What do you think? You may have some ideas. Government, normally, they listen to the program. So let's hear your feedback. Down to Brass Tacks, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Joanne.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to every person who can hear my voice. Now, what I'm going to say may be a little different than what people may be expecting. This has something to do with climate change and probably things that will probably multiply on this earth in a couple of years to come. Now, I would like the University of the West Indies or any scientist that can come or probably find some way of educating the people around the world about these particular things. Now, here on Earth, we actually have spacecrafts that are going into outer space, and they are conducting some certain things to drill on other planets, Mars and the moon, etc., and bringing back samples. Now, I haven't heard anybody around the world, as far as I know, so if there's anybody who knows of this, please, I don't know if we could probably hear about it, questioning when these rockets go out and come back, and they bring the samples from outer space from the other planets that they're looking for life, or if there were life, and if there were bacteria, etc., etc. What impact could it have if they bring back any particular thing here to Earth? And remember, scientists could only work with what they know. And only when it start to multiply or whatever, etc., they can only try to deal with it. Now, when you have to leave inner Earth, which is here on Earth, to go out into outer space, you have to go through something in the stratosphere, where actually there's protect what you all call the rays from the sun and elements from the outside space shining in on us. So to me, I want to know, if there's any or anybody out there know of a program or any particular organizations that is questioning these things. Because China just brought back, well, a couple of months, they came back with a sample. Now we have now United States up there drilling, and they're going to bring back some samples. So my question will be to anybody around the world, if they're listening, we in the Caribbean would love to know, how are they going to deal with these particular things they bring back? And how would they know if they bring back anything that could cause this earth a lot more problems at this point in time? Now, I would hope that there's some person or some organization, as they say, because they hear about climate change all the time, right? But I know when you burst that stratosphere and go out and come in, they talk about burn off, and you does burn off the any particular excess bacteria or anything that come in. But what has happened is that the ones that they are bringing back are protected in the spaceships that they are coming back in. So what is going to happen there? Anyway, that is my question to that. I know you asked a question just now about what can we plant. Right now, as far as I'm seeing and hearing, we hardly have room to plant things to feed us. One.
No, not necessarily what we can we plant. We could have rocks that cure, I don't know. The point
okay,
is,
right. Okay, let's say you go that road, right? We will have to drill, we have to take it, we have to send it out. In actual fact, we'll be actually boring our plate. We are going down as far as how far we will go to get this particular thing that the other countries want. Which means you will have to go as far as we can go to our plate, that holding little Barbados on this little flat plate from rocking from one side to the next. In other words, what I'm trying to say is that we don't have enough of anything right now on this little rock that we have that we can have enough of to send out.
Do we have enough of 3-4 different things then?
Well, even that day you could look
well,
at.
Well, then
but
we're not limited into the one. I put just one out there, but we're free to do many. But the point is, we can't continue to rely on tourism now when we know what can happen. We really need to dig deeper into what can we share with the world, sell to the world, to bring in some additional foreign exchange. And it can't only be, yes, we need to sustain ourselves only, because everything we do requires some level of importation. So even if you're doing cotton and you need a machine, the machine comes from overseas.
Right.
If you need to spray crops, the spray is coming from overseas. You know what I mean? So
I agree with you. But what I'm trying to say to you, and what I would suggest, this the thing with these guys that take the containers and do agriculture with it. Since we don't have enough land mass, we don't have enough ground, these guys that were taking the containers and doing the agriculture stuff and rain the different produce in it, well, that will have to be the way. You will have to start to look for some place to put these particular things and try to get these guys, try to produce as much as whatever food we can get, because the land, as I see it, is being used up. And as far as I'm understanding, they'll leave unattended, so a couple of years from now, you could put development on it. So basically, if you don't do something like that, that's the best way you could tell anybody getting agriculture now, if they don't have land of their own to go. Right? So that's the best I can see.
All righty. Well, we're hoping that someone somewhere out there in the universe can answer that question about what happens when you bring back this foreign matter back to Earth. And can it be more hurtful than harmful than helpful?